It's great to have you with us on The Takeaway today. I'm Todd Zwillick. That smartphone you're carrying in your pocket right now, it's great. It lets you text, it lets you talk and tweet, it even lets you listen to our show. But while you're doing all of these great things, your phone is listening. It's recording. It's recording what you text, what you search, maybe what you buy, and definitely where you go. And if that makes you nervous, imagine how you'd feel about your phone once the cops got a hold of it. That's the very issue in front of the Supreme Court today, where justices are hearing a case that could decide whether the Constitution protects you from cops who want to search your phone without a warrant. A man named Timothy Carpenter was convicted of a series of crimes largely based on his cell phone location data. The thing is, police got those data without a warrant, and Carpenter says that violated his rights under the Fourth Amendment, protection against unreasonable search and seizure. There's a lot at stake in this case involving your rights and some of the biggest, most powerful companies in America. Jeffrey Rosen is president of the National Constitution Center. Jeffrey, great to have you back.
Great to be back.
Well, Jeff, tell us the story of Timothy Carpenter, what he was convicted of doing back in 2010 and 2011, and what it says about Fourth Amendment rights in the digital age.
Well, Timothy Carpenter was convicted of stealing cell phones, and he was caught using a cell phone. It's an amazing story. Basically, he was an armed robber. He was going around robbing Radio Shacks and stealing electronics. And in order to reconstruct his movements in public for 127 days, the police subpoenaed his geolocational records from his cell phone carrier. And when we walk around with our cell phones, we're pinging cell phone towers all the time that can trace our location within a block or two. And using this amazing amount of data, the police were able to figure out exactly where he'd been and to prove that he had indeed committed these robberies. So they indicted and convicted him. And he objected, "This is an unconstitutional search because you did not have a valid search warrant before you seized my digital data." And the huge question before the Supreme Court, which could determine the future of digital privacy in the 21st century, is do we have an expectation of privacy in our digital data? Is it an unreasonable search or seizure of our digital effects, to use the language of the Fourth Amendment, when the police seize a huge amount of data without a judicial warrant?
Even if we allow a big corporation like Sprint or Verizon to own that data, that's part of the question here. Jeff Rosen, one might look at this and say, well, the cops search phone records and phone numbers all the time. Why is this different?
That's the central question in the case. In the 1970s, the Supreme Court held that when I make one telephone call, I abandon any expectation of privacy in that number because I know the phone company is recording that number. And that was a case called Smith versus Maryland, and it created something called the third party doctrine, which says that when I voluntarily turn over data like a phone number to a third party, I lose all expectation of privacy in it. The huge question in this case is, are a million phone numbers different than just one number? Or are phone numbers that can reveal our locations in public with granular precision different from making a single phone call? And that is a case that the court has been grappling with in recent years. And the answer to that question is what makes this case so important.
So it's easy to understand why the FBI, why law enforcement agencies would want this power to easily search without a warrant. That makes sense. Who's on Timothy Carpenter's side here?
Well, Google and Microsoft and Apple and Facebook, all of the platforms that store all of our data say, hey, we don't want to be forced to turn over this incredibly private information to the government without a really good reason, like a judicial search warrant, or else citizens, consumers won't feel comfortable turning over their data in the first place. And other people who are on the side of Timothy Carpenter include civil libertarian liberals and libertarian conservatives who say, in an age when we store all of our data in the digital cloud, in third-party servers owned by companies, then if the court extends that doctrine to our digital data, we would literally have no privacy. It's this fascinating question of constitutional translation. At the time of the framing of the Constitution, the search that sparked the American Revolution were the general warrants and writs of assistance that allowed the king to rummage through people's private diaries. But in those days, you had to break into someone's home to search their diary. Now you can search the equivalent of a digital diary merely by seizing data turned over to third parties. So Justice Sonia Sotomayor, in a recent case involving global positioning system surveillance, said the court needs to reconsider this whole idea that we have no expectation of privacy in data stored with third parties, or else in the digital age, we will have no privacy.
I mean, Jeff Rosen, it's almost intuitive at this point. This isn't really about just cell phone tower location data or about Timothy Carpenter at all. I mean, the phones that we carry with us all the time contain a lifetime of data about us, who we talk to, what we say, where we go. This is really what it's about.
It's absolutely what it's about. And the Supreme Court seems to understand the stakes. In a recent case involving the question of whether the police can open our cell phones without a warrant when they arrest us, Chief Justice John Roberts wrote a unanimous opinion for all nine justices saying, our cell phones are the equivalent of our digital diaries. We live on our cell phones. Most Americans carry them. They can reveal the political rallies we attend or the people we associate with. To allow a search of our cell phones without really good reason would be the equivalent of the general warrants. And Chief Justice Roberts quoted John Adams as saying, at the moment that James Otis denounced the writs of assistance, at that moment, the child revolution was born. So the justices seem to understand the stakes of digital privacy. And what makes this case so fascinating and really important is it's possible the court could decide it narrowly or broadly or punt it, but the answer is going to have huge consequences for the future of digital privacy.
And we're expecting a decision in June. But Jeff Rosen, you know, on its face, it's a little bit hard to imagine the justices not ruling that you need a warrant to search these records. I mean, no one is saying police can't search geolocation data. They're just saying you need a warrant for it, just like you need a warrant to knock down the door.
Absolutely. Under something called the Stored Communications Privacy Act, you're allowed to get data if you have reasonable suspicion that the data is relevant to a criminal investigation. The cops invoke that law in trying to seize this data. And the only limit that the court would impose here is to say, if you're going to seize a huge amount of data that can reveal a tremendous amount about us, then you need a judicial warrant. Now, the difficulty of the case is, where do you draw the line? Everyone agrees that you can seize a day worth of data, or the police can follow you on the street for a day. Here, Timothy Carpenter is saying you can't follow me for 5 months, and figuring out when the magic line kicks in is something that the court is going to have to decide.
And Timothy Carpenter himself, does he stand to have his case overturned if the justices rule in his favor?
He was sentenced to a tremendously long amount of time in prison, I think more than 100 years. And it's possible that even if this case is overturned, it may not be that he gets out of prison for other reasons. But his case will absolutely set huge precedents that really could determine the future of privacy for lots and lots of people.
The Fourth Amendment, your right against unreasonable search and seizure by the government, at stake in the United States Supreme Court in the digital age. Jeff Rosen with the National Constitution Center. Jeff, thanks as always.
Pleasure, as always.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.